broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Getaway Friday, January the 20th, 2023. 1:20:23, 14 and a half minutes past the hour here on this Friday morning. You know, not a bad Friday morning outside. We had that big rainstorm last night, but the weather was beautiful yesterday. I think we got up to something like 57, 59 degrees here in Marion, and this morning's not bad at all. I put the big winter coat on this morning, but really did not need it. It was not bad. I don't know what the temperatures are supposed to be like the rest of the day, but it's not bad at all out there this morning in Marion. I gotta tell you, this morning I had, not only did I have to stop by McDonald's this morning, but McDonald's was very easy to get through this morning for whatever reason. As I've said recently, I don't know what has happened at McDonald's, but in the mornings you can just buzz right through. Now, it was not like that prior to Christmas. Now, Christmas came, and usually over the Christmas and New Year's break, because a lot of people are off work and a lot of students are off school, you can get through pretty fast. But ever since we came back in January, people went back to work, people went back to school, the lines are actually still okay. Not bad at all. So I zipped through there. But I had to stop at Starbucks this morning to pick up something. And it's kind of funny. Starbucks got me through very, very quickly. So I want to give Starbucks all the credit for that this morning. But two things I noticed. I was there right around 7 o'clock. And there wasn't much of a line. Now, I would guess that that would be Starbucks' busy time of day. And there really wasn't much of a line there this morning at Starbucks. And number two, I had a little, well, I'm not going to say fun, but I just found this interesting. Because we've talked on this show many times about Starbucks being a culture more than a restaurant. Or maybe as much as a restaurant, a culture. So I get up to the window, and I order the drink, and I say I want a large tea, a warm tea. And the lady came back, and she said, "So you want a venti?" And I said, "Yeah, large." And she said, "Venti." So we kind of got into a back and forth about the size of the tea. And we're both saying the same thing, but the Starbucks employee would not say large. She would only say venti, which I thought was interesting. So that was my morning, but I was really kind of surprised that there was not much. 7 o'clock on a Friday morning? And I think there was only one car ahead of me in the drive-thru at Starbucks? How does that happen? Has anybody noticed a taper? Do any of you out there go to Starbucks in the morning? Do you notice that the line is not what it used to be? I'll say the line is not what it used to be at McDonald's on 95. And what do you make of Starbucks being a culture more than just a restaurant? With that whole venti, what is a small? I don't know what a small is. Apparently a venti is large. Oh, by the way, I'm at the studio today. So the telephone number is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if you want to give me a buzz. Call here at the radio studio. It's fun to be in the studio. You know, it's hard to get from one job to the other, which is why I do a lot of my shows from home now. But it is still fun to come to the studio here on Fridays. So remember, I'm at the studio line today. 740-383-9944. But has anybody noticed a drop-off at Starbucks? Or what is small? If venti is large, what is small? Who knows? Passed by Charlie's last night. I was out and about last night as well. Passed by Charlie's on Mount Vernon Avenue, and they still seem to have a line. Now, I passed by there probably about 5:30, which was dinner time, and the line was not huge, maybe four or five cars past the ordering window. So it's dying down a little bit, but still doing a business there at Charlie's, and I think they've been open nearly maybe half a month now. I think they opened on New Year's Eve. Now, I tell you, there was not a whole lot of rigmarole when it came to that at all. Not like the Del Taco situation, let's put it that way. Matter of fact, I don't think most people knew that Charlie's was even opening. But Del Taco, all I'm going to say this morning is basically the opening date is February the 8th, and they will be open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. until 3 a.m. And if you have not downloaded the Del Taco app, download it on your smartphone, and the first time you go there, you will get a free taco. And we have heard that the tacos there are very good. I've never had a Del Taco taco, so wanted to go through that. Now, last night, the reason I was out, I was coming here to the studio to do a television taping. And by the way, if you're ever on YouTube, just search Scott Spears Now, and you will get episodes of the programs we're doing here, the video programs, the television programs at night. I believe the only one up there right now is Buckeye Guy from last week. But last night we taped an episode with George Kasotis, which will be up very soon. And we taped an episode, well, Buckeye Guy was here as well. So we have an episode with Buckeye Guy and George, and we have an episode with George, which we will get up on the internet hopefully this weekend or early next week. Now, there are some older episodes up there with President Harding and Mike McGinnis, the guy from My 600-Pound Life, and I think we have some episodes up there with Golden Voice Ted Williams. So there's some good content there. Just go to YouTube and search Scott Spears Now, and you should see some episodes that hopefully are very fun to watch. All right. Well, being with George last night was great. We had a fun time. He was on the cover of the paper yesterday. And I'll tell you the type of guy George Kasotis is at 90 years old. He came last night. He was here for about 2.5 hours. He did both episodes. He was great. Sang songs. Told stories. It was great. And then, when it was over, we were all talking about him being on the front page of the paper. And Buckeye Guy said he was going to get one of those papers on the way out of town, and I said I had not had a chance to get one of the papers yet. So he called his wife Joanne, and God bless her, Joanne last night in that horrible rainstorm went out looking for newspapers. And she found them, and she brought them here, and Buckeye Guy got one, and I got one, and we were one short because George still needed another paper. And it was interesting because Joanne went back out into the rain. Now, it's probably 8:15 at this point. She goes back out into the rain to find two more papers. She goes down here to CVS. They were sold out. She went over to Rite Aid, found two more papers, brought them back, and everybody got a signed paper from George Kasotis last night. And that is the kind of people George and Joanne Kasotis are. So, I certainly tip my Cubs cap to those two people. We had an amazingly fun time here last night. Buckeye Guy is a fun guy to be around. George is a fun guy to be around. And when those episodes are up online, you're going to want to see those because George talks about the history of his life, but the songs he sings and the issues that we covered. I mean, it was really, really a lot of fun. So, look for that coming up soon. Oh, and also we presented him with the Upper Crust Society Award. Now, I got my Upper Crust Society Award last year, and we were able to present Buckeye Guy and Mary Ellen with their awards at the Christmas party, but George was on vacation, so we did not have a chance to give him his plaque. Last night, I presented him with his plaque on the television show, and I sent a picture of this to Bob Welch. Now, I don't know if Bob got the picture, but George has got his plaque. He was very impressed with it, and he's very happy to be a member of the Upper Crust Society. And we did it on video, so as soon as that video is edited and up, you can take a look at that and see him presented with that award on the television show. So that's great. And of course, Bob has a lot to do with our upcoming Groundhog Day celebration here. Coming up on February the 2nd, 2 weeks from yesterday, we'll be on the air from 8:15 until 10 that morning. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. We've got the Groundhog Pizza. We've got cards under the Groundhog Pizza that say 6 more weeks of winter and early spring. We have got somebody in a groundhog suit who's going to show up here and eat a piece of that pizza, and that's how we're going to get our weather prediction. We have got all kinds of... We're going to have a plaque presentation that day to the person who answers the most trivia questions the day before. Just a lot of stuff. And we're going to have... guess who's in the groundhog suit? Which we'll take guesses on that the day before, on February the 1st from 8:15 until 10 a.m., and then the winner of that will get something on Groundhog Day morning. So you'll have to come out on Groundhog Day, 8:15 to 10 a.m., get your picture taken with the groundhog, which I guess we decided yesterday. The groundhog's name is going to be Warren Groundhog Harding. So that in itself is a lot of fun, and I think some more dignitaries might be coming to this event. I'll let you know as the weeks progress who's going to be there, but it's just going to be a lot of fun. In any event, does anybody have anything to say at that point? We're about 11 minutes into the show this morning. 740-383-9944. Now remember, I am at the studio today, so that is the number to dial. 740-383-9944. Okay, we went over Vente Starbucks and the Upper Crust Society Award last night with George, and Groundhog Day. You know, I ran into one of our devoted listeners yesterday, and she just had such nice things to say about the program, and I know she's out there listening because she listens every morning, so you know who you are, and thank you for all the nice words yesterday. Like I always say, there are a lot of people who listen who never call in. I know there are people who listen at City Hall who never call in. I know there are people who listen at Ohio Health who never call in. I know there are people who listen at home who never call in. Some people call, some people don't. But I will also tell you, we do like the calls. We had great calls yesterday. I think most of the two-hour program yesterday was filled with calls, and that was a lot of fun. But in any event, ran into this person yesterday, and she was talking about how she enjoyed the games that we were playing with... Marian history. You know, what used to be in this location, which I like that too. I think that's a lot of fun, and we'll try to continue that this morning if we can. But she also was talking about the Groundhog event, and she said, boy, that sounds like a fun event. And I think so too. I think it'll be a fun event, and again, it has nothing to do with Buckeye Chuck. Buckeye Chuck will be over by that point. Buckeye Chuck is from 7 to 8 o'clock. We hope they have a big crowd. We hope everybody goes down there. But our event will start at 8:15, and chances are our groundhog will show up at 8:45 or 9:15 to choose his or her piece of pizza. So that's how that looks at this particular point. Now, I was also... Well, let's go to this real quick. We were also talking yesterday. Now, this spurred a conversation, and I don't know if everybody had a chance to get in on this or not, but we were talking about what are the problems with the schools and what's the problem with downtown Marion, because a lot of people bring these two things up quite a bit. And I was in a conversation, I believe it was Wednesday, and I thought the real reason that there are problems with these two entities, if indeed there are problems, really is an underlying cause that we can do nothing about. And it's no fault of our own that it happened that way. Let's say all schools in the district have had a problem since open enrollment came in. Now, I don't know what year open enrollment came in, but basically open enrollment said you could enroll your child in whatever school district you like at no real cost. There used to be a fee to do that, and the school had to accept the person, and there was a big process involved in that. But that's not there anymore. And as I said yesterday, the basic problem there is that schools fund themselves on levies that are voted by the people. And the people know that their property taxes will go up if they vote on these levies. Well, the problem is that if you live in Marion City and you send your kid to Elgin, you don't vote on the Elgin levies because you don't live in Elgin. But you still vote on the Marion City levies, so you probably are not going to vote for them because you don't have any kids that go there. And because of that, coincidentally, the levy does not pass. But also coincidentally, the Elgin levy ends up not passing because a lot of the kids who go there, their parents don't live in the district. So it's a mess. And I'm not really sure how to fix that. Does anybody have any idea how we could fix something like that? That was a big point of conversation yesterday. Has anybody thought on that overnight? Again, we're at the studio today, 740-383-9944. Whoever calls could be our first caller this morning. 30 minutes past the hour, or as they say on most radio programs, half past the hour. 740-383-9944. In downtown Marion, I don't know if this got as much play as the schools did yesterday, but downtown Marion is a very simple problem. When downtown Marion was constructed, it was constructed on Main Street, and Main Street was 423. Still is 423. But back in those days, 423 was Route 23, so anybody going from Delaware to Upper had to go through Marion. Had to go through downtown Marion, had to go down 423 to get there. Well, years ago, the bypass was built out on Mount Vernon Avenue, and we got this big highway, interstate, Route 23. Well, now people don't have to go through downtown Marion to go from Delaware or Columbus to Upper or wherever they're going, north of the state. So that cut down on the traffic, and that really is a problem that can't be fixed either. It's not like we're going to tear down the Route 23 interstate that runs out on the east side of town. So that's really what happened. And if you look at the growth of the east side of town, it almost coincides exactly with the Route 23 interstate being built out there. So, you know, that's just what happened. And if you can almost track that also to downtown Marion starting to lose business, and the mall starting to lose business, Delaware Avenue starting to lose business. Because again, you know, that was right there, close to Main Street. It was an area, that's why the mall and all that was built in that area, was because it was close to downtown Marion. It was close to that area where cars used to travel from north to south here in Marion. But that's just not the case anymore since they built that out east. So, does anybody have anything to add to that? Do you agree or disagree with the information that I'm presenting here this morning? Schools in trouble just because of the open enrollment? Or do you think there's something else to it? And conversely, downtown Marion and their troubles, basically because Route 23 moved to a different part of Marion, actually moved in the county. Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz and we can discuss it here, 33 minutes past the hour, on this Getaway Friday morning, January the 20th, 2022. It's just, and again, the only reason I'm bringing this up is because it seems like anytime I'm in a conversation with somebody, they're either talking about the schools or they're talking about downtown Marion. And it's of no fault of anybody who's trying to do things in downtown Marion or who's trying to do things in the schools. I mean, I commend those people. I think that's great. But there just have been problems over the years that certainly did not help the cause. Let's say that. All right, before we get to some of our games here this morning, I did want to bring up something. Now this was a conversation. You know, our Harding dog collar, Laddie Boy's dog collar reward ran out on December 31st. Now, we had a $5,000 reward on this. And it really did not get a whole lot of feedback. Now, there were some people who called in who said they were also looking for things. And, you know, that's kind of how it really went. So my question is, what do you think? Because I don't think I've ever asked this question before. What do you think the dollar amount would be for somebody to bring back this collar? Now, $5,000 is a lot of money. But what do you think would really get the word out there? What dollar amount is big to you for a dog collar? A historic artifact. What do you think would bring this dog collar back? Anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. Because it's interesting to me, we started with $1,000, and that got a lot of news, got a lot of play, but really no leads on that. Then we went up to $5,000, five times the original amount, and, you know, that got some play in the Marion Star, and we did get a few phone calls, and people were talking about it. But what amount of money do you think would bring back this dog collar? Because, I think about Lady Justice being returned after, what was it, 20, 30 years it was gone. What would make the person who has this dog collar want to return it? What would finally spur them to bring back this artifact? Does anybody have any idea what amount of money? Now, we do have the plaque here in the studio. They will get the plaque that they return the Harding dog collar. But what money amount do you think would cause huge interest? You know, I think about this boy who was apprehended recently. Now, there was a reward for his return, and I keep thinking, what amount of money, what is it going to take to get Laddie Boy's dog collar back? Somebody's got to have an opinion out there this morning on this. What do you think it will take for whoever has that thing to say, listen, I can now go collect that money and give this dog collar back, which is not doing me any good, and the Harding home will be happy, the dog collar will be back. What amount of money, what do you think it would take for that to happen? Now remember, we're at the studio this morning, 740-383-9944. What do you think it's going to take for that dog collar to return? And we've spent so much time talking about it here on the station, which is good. I think it's something we should talk about here locally. But we started at 1,000, we went up to 5,000. What do you think it's going to take? Do you think there's any amount of money that's going to spur that person to return that dog collar? Or do you think there's an amount of money that is so high, or is at a point that everybody would be talking about it? Everybody would be looking for this dog collar. Any thoughts on that? 38 minutes past the hour here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What do you think it would take for the return of Laddie Boy's dog collar? The Harding dog collar. If anybody, think on it. And if anybody has any thoughts, give me a buzz here, because I would be very, very interested. All right, looks like we have a call coming in here. Let's see what we got. Go ahead, caller.
It's me, Scott.
Yes.
The dog collar, why don't somebody make signs? I don't know if Lapleys or somebody would donate and, put that plastic laminate them and put one out towards, of course, Walmart. and each end of town, north, south, east, and west, and that digital downtown, and there's a digital there by the old YMCA, across from that church. If they would donate doing that for a short period of time, because to me, you know, those brown apartments that were torn down there, I think Dr. Landenfeld owned those. I think it's somebody right around that area, because if you had a truck and you got scared, you would wait and go back and get the ladder, that you would not walk down the street with a ladder at that hour of the morning. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think it's somebody right in that area that has been out in how many years. They're probably gone by now and stuff. But I think it's somebody right close that had a ladder. I don't know how they would know to go get that. I would think they would get something else and stuff. But I don't know why a sign can't be put out towards, especially out, you know, towards Walmart, because everybody goes that way. And not too many people go up north, and then put one down towards, well, a lot of people go to Kroger's, and then put one at the, you know, each north, south, east, and west. Because, you know, if you go and you come down the ladder, you're going to take it if you have a truck. But if you don't have a truck, I don't know, if you get scared, you're going to leave it. So I think I've always thought it was somebody right in that area, because you're not going to walk down Vine Street a block or two carrying a ladder. I mean, it could come any time, but you know you're not going to do that. It almost had to be somebody in that area, and the apartments are gone, and I don't know if those houses, a lot of them's probably rentals and stuff. The people probably aren't in that area, and you're not going to get the paper probably or listen to the radio, and even, I don't even know if they know somebody's looking for it. To me, I think, because when you put up those billboards, I know years ago I was going to put one up for my daughter 15 years ago. I think it's $700. But if somebody could just, you know, laminate, I don't know if Lopley's or those places would donate, and where it could take the weather, and you'd probably have to get the city and county's permission to do it. But instead of offering, like, you know, going to the expense and stuff, I don't know why the Harding Home doesn't do something.
Well, you know, I don't know, but do you think that there is a certain amount of money that, you know, would create a buzz? You know, that's why, like, for example, when that boy who the 17-year-old boy, I believe he was 17, who allegedly shot the other boy was on the you know, couldn't be found for several months, they offered rewards and kept upping them until he was found, and he was eventually found. I mean, it took 2 or 3 months, but eventually he was found. Now, do you think that there is a dollar amount that would just get people talking, that they would hear that amount and they would go, hey, that, you know how people, just, it's like the Del Taco thing. You know, we put that Del Taco thing online 3 days ago, and I think it's been shared 111 times. Now, what dollar amount would create the interest that the Del Taco opening, that the return of that boy, what would it be?
Well, to me, I think it's I'm not profiling now. I think it's a young male. I don't know if he was on drugs, because I don't think an older person, man, would do it, but certainly I don't think a woman. I think if you offer $20,000, you're not going to get anything, because they're not going to know. I don't know if they're on drugs or what, but I think if that person doesn't turn it in, somebody that knows him, I mean, if he was the only one, maybe you'll never find out, but I think unless somebody wants the money and turns him in, and you could always put at the bottom of the sign, you know, just, you know, like you said, return it to here and no charges. I think that's the only way. People's going to have to see it when they're out traveling, because, I mean, if I did listen to your station, I didn't get the paper, I wouldn't even know anything about that.
Well, you know, but I'll tell you, it's interesting, because I look back in the past, for example, just recently and in the past, like back in the day of Lady Justice, everybody apparently knew who had Lady Justice. And see, that's what's odd to me about this case, is because nobody seems to know who has it at all. Nobody even talks about it. And it's been 11 years. And the other
thing... I didn't know that thing was missing until you... I don't know, about the time I started listening to your show. what, 4 or 5 years? I mean, I didn't know it.
Well, right.
And these people, if they're young, they're not going to read the paper. They're not going to listen to the radio, so they don't know. And that person, even if he stole it, would think he's getting some money. He'd try to turn it in. But I think it's just a young person for a prank or drugs or why there's something in that home that is small that would be more valuable, I would think, than that. I don't know.
Well, that's the, like on social media, like that Del Taco story. Right now, it's 111 shares, 32 people have liked it, 16 people have commented, and it's had a reach of something like, I don't know, it's well over 3,400 people. And like the Bill Cosby interview, was seen in three different countries. It was covered everywhere. So what amount of money, what interest would be... What would it take to create that kind of interest to where everybody knows?
I don't think anything, Scott. I think whoever it is, I'm just thinking it's just like a very young person. They probably don't do computers, and they're just, I don't know. To me, it was a serious thing to steal all of all the stuff to me. I don't know what's in there and stuff, but I just don't think anybody knows. I think you could, like, but don't get me started on that Lady Justice. That guy I
well,
could hang.
Well, let me say, okay, let's talk about just recently the boy who allegedly shot the other boy. Now, that was never put on billboards, and I think the only place that ever saw advertisement was in the newspaper. It was on social media. It was on the radio. So, and they did catch him. It took 3 months, but they caught him, and the word got out. So, I think it did have something to do, because how would they even know what he looked like? How would they know who he was? He ended up in Detroit. I think they ended up finding him in Detroit. So, I think it was...
I don't know if it's Detroit or Georgia. That's what I said. He's got relation, and then if the relation talk, a friend maybe girl, somebody that they talk to is going to hear it. But this person, I think, if somebody helped him, there's only two that know. Unless one of them tells, you're never going to find out. Unless the person that has it sees that sign and wants the money or something. But like that in Detroit, when somebody does something, usually they won't tell on each other, and then as they talk, you know, you're going to find out. But this, I don't think you're ever going to find out. If you ever find out, it's going to be by somebody seeing those signs. That it might take a few months, but I think that eventually, because some people take the bus, and I just think it's somebody close. Because if I had, you can't put a ladder, I think, like they had to get up that high in a car. They had to have a truck. I don't think they had an automobile. And I don't think they walked down the street with that ladder. I think they were close. And they just took the ladder and... Because I think that window, I don't know which window it was, but didn't they break in the upstairs, the ladder? That ladder had to be high to get up there.
And I think they left the ladder. So you don't think
I think they got scared. No, I think if you had put on the radio 20,000, I don't think you'd get anything, probably 50. Somebody has to see that and know that there's, you know, just put missing or whatever, like you sit on the radio and the reward and no charges filed, you know, and then turn it in if you want it turned in at your radio station. Maybe that guy that makes your signs. You know, but I think Lopley's or one of them would donate maybe, you know, to do that. All you need would be about 4 signs, but everybody goes out towards Walmart.
Well, I would say that the first time when the reward money was $1,000, the Associated Press picked that up, so that was not just local. That went all across the country and was in a lot of newspapers. Now, I often thought at that point, I wonder if the amount was too low. Because let's say you stole it and somehow the dog collar ended up in Washington. Now, are you going to return that for $1,000? You got to get to Marion. You got to return it. You got to collect the $1,000. Now, how much is it going to cost you to get here? So, I wonder about that, too. You know, there is... If you're going to return it for a reward, the money does matter. And if you are living in a different state, which that went all around the United States, that story did Thanksgiving of 2021, there's got to be something, there's got to be an amount of money where it's worth it to you to return it. Because,
well, you might have been 20 when you took it, and you'd be, what, about 31? Yeah. In the years, maybe you've thought about it, and you should return it. Maybe the Harding Home should put one of the signs in front of their house, because I'd say that person still probably lives around in that area, the one that's got it. Probably lives, I'm not going to say next door, but close, you know what I mean. You need to, you know, like, I don't think they traveled anywhere or anything, but I think they're just right around that area.
Well, see,
and
to
I
me,
think the reason they didn't take that ladder was when they came down, I don't know if it'd be if one would take a ladder if there was two. But I don't know if they got scared if somebody happened to go down the road or come out, or I don't know if it's side of the house or the back of the house or what. But I think they got scared, or they would have taken the ladder. And if you have a truck, you're not going to leave. You're going to circle back and get the ladder. You're not going to leave that ladder there. I just think they were very young. They got scared, and they first break it in and steal in it, that they just left it there.
Well, we'll see what happens. I don't know. Hopefully something does happen.
Yeah, because I would think somebody, you know, like the sign places around here would donate, you know, putting them up, because it seems like they want that so bad. And put one at the Harding, but everybody almost always goes out towards that, you know, Walmart that way. But I don't know, probably whoever took it isn't saying anything unless he had somebody with him, you know, unless they have told somebody. But I think it's going to be the person that stole it, sees a sign or something, and takes it back. But in 11 years, you know, and stuff, you probably can't pawn it, so why would you want that laying around when you could have $5,000?
Well, that's the question. That's
yeah,
the question.
Yeah, you can get the people's opinions and stuff and see.
Well, we'll see. Well, hey, thanks for calling. All right, phone lines are open. Remember, we're here at the studio today. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Coming up on 51 minutes past the hour. Now remember, we've got the pastor spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker from 9:15 until 10 a.m. this morning. Then I'll be back at 10:15, and I'll be here through 1 o'clock. So stick with us. We'll be doing trivia and all kinds of things this morning you won't want to miss. But does the dollar amount matter? Now, our last caller seems to feel that maybe it doesn't matter. You know, $1,000, $5,000, $20,000, it would not make any difference. I don't know. You know, when the lottery goes up, people tend to buy more tickets. You know, I know a lot of pools that are done at businesses don't start until the lottery is above a certain amount of money, like $1 billion or something. So does the dollar amount matter when it comes to the return of the Harding dog collar? And what amount of money would spur somebody to return that? What is it going to take? What would create great interest? Because it's not even so much the amount of money that would get somebody to return it, it's what would get people talking in the community. They'd say, wow, that's how much money is being offered for this dog collar? Because once that starts, then it spreads like gossip. It spreads like, oh, Del Taco's opening on this date. You know, it word of mouth starts to spread it. So what do you think? What's the amount? What's it going to take? Give me a call here at the studio, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What will it take for the return of Laddie Boy's dog collar, President Harding's dog? Now, we started with $1,000, then we got up to $5,000. What would it take to see that dog collar returned? What amount of money would create the interest that would bring back the dog collar? Does anybody have an opinion out there? Coming up on 53 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. Remember, we're at the studio today. 740-383-9944. What would do it? What? Can you imagine the celebration that we would have if this dog collar returned? We'd get to present the plaque. We would get to present the award. We would get to present the dog collar back to the Harding home. I mean, it would be a very magical moment. And I think would do so much for the Harding home, because that was a very popular item. People like seeing Laddie Boy's dog collar. So does anybody have any thoughts? Is it an amount of money that would do it? Is there something else that would do it? that would spur this dog collar, which has been gone 11 years, to come back. Any thoughts on it? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, my question is, $5,000 enough? Now, $5,000's a lot of money, but is it the amount that's going to cause the dog collar to return? Or is something else going to have to happen? You know, put yourself in the person's shoes who took the dog collar. Now, if you had it, and maybe you do out there listening, what amount of money, what thing would make you go, wow, I definitely have to return that dog collar? What would do it? Because essentially, that's what we've wanted for more than a year and a half now. We just want the dog collar to be returned. What would do that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any opinions out there this morning on the Harding dog collar and its possible return? What would it take? We've got about 5 minutes for you to get in on this conversation. I know a lot of people are sitting at home this morning scratching their head thinking, now what would it take? What would it take for me to bring back that dog collar? And what is so peculiar to me, like I was saying to the last caller, is when it came to Lady Justice, so many people knew who had Lady Justice. What's weird about this dog collar situation, it's been gone 11 years, and I've never heard anybody talk about it as the person who might have it, could have it. No thoughts, no leads, you know, not even a lead. You would think with $5,000 involved that there'd be a lead. Somebody would say, well, you know, I think such and such has it, or such and such talked about it on this date. I mean, you'd think we'd at least have that, but we don't. Why do you think that is? What are the opinions out there this morning? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Less than 4 minutes left to go for you to get your opinion in on the Harding dog collar. And again, do want to remind everybody, the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker comes up at 9:15 this morning till 10 a.m. Then we will have my program back on the air this morning at 10:15 a.m. through 1 p.m. So don't tune out today, because we have got a lot of great programming, and I've got some more of these Marian history questions. You know, what business used to be at this location? What business was at this location before this business? You know, I've got a whole new list of those that I did bright and early this morning as I was going by to get my Vente tea. All right, time's ticking here. 57 and a half minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. Again, don't forget the big Groundhog event coming up on February the 2nd. 10:15 a.m. until 12 noon, right here on WGH Talk. Did I just say the wrong time? 8:15 a.m. until 10 a.m. You know, I really need a script some days. Well, it's Friday. You know, it's been a long week. It has seemed like a long week to me. But boy, that weather was nice yesterday, wasn't it? Right until that big rainstorm came in, thunderstorm came in, everything was just hunky-dory. Then we got the big rainstorm, which, you know, didn't amount to much. I mean, it wasn't horrible. I was here at the studio through most of it. It wasn't awful, but it just took away our beautiful, sunny 58, 59 degree weather yesterday that we were having, which I think everybody was enjoying. No, but the big Groundhog event coming up February the 2nd, 8:15 until 10 a.m. The Groundhog, Warren Groundhog Harding, will eat a piece of Groundhog pizza and whatever prediction is under that piece of pizza, whether it's 6 more weeks of winter or an early spring, that will remain the prediction from us for the next 6 weeks. Now, will our prediction be right? Who knows? And we will present a plaque and a giveaway to the person who gets the most groundhog trivia right the previous day, 8:15 until 10 a.m. on Wednesday, February the 1st. So a lot of moving parts here, and who knows what will join or come of this event as we get closer. We're under 2 weeks, but we've still got time to add things, that's for sure. 59 and a half minutes past the hour. Now think to yourself, what would bring back the Harding dog collar? What would bring back Laddie Boy's dog collar? Think on that this morning. We'll be back after the pastor spot here at 10:15 a.m. and maybe we'll have some answers to this question. Hope you're having a great morning. We're going to take a quick break here and come back with the pastor spot in about 15 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From legendary comedian Abe Vigoda.
You know, Abe, there's been this